Tony Broom Ministries presents the following sermon entitled, Be Filled with the Spirit.
We're going to talk about being filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit is an invitation. It's also a command. Be filled. Be ye being filled. It's a continual thing. It just goes on and on. It's so important, obviously, to be saved and born again. But one of the most important things in the life of a believer is to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, you have to be in the family of God. Obviously, you cannot have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the world does not see Him, they do not know Him, but you know Him. He dwells with you and shall be in you. He's the Spirit of truth, and the world does not know who He is. Those who are not born again, they're in the world, they don't know Him. But you know Him. A believer knows the Holy Spirit because they have the Holy Spirit. You have to be in the family of God in order to have the Spirit of God. Qualified in the family. Qualification of having and even being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, is to be in the family. This is a family affair. You have to be in the family of God. The song said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 15, it's talking about John the Baptist. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. He's the only one in the Bible that I know of that Scripture says that he would be Spirit-filled even from his mother's womb. And he will not drink wine or strong drink. Of course, that time it's talking about prophecy because he hadn't been born yet. He would not drink wine or strong drink. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, there are things you can't do. Things that you're not supposed to do. You cannot drink and be filled with the Spirit. You can't smoke and take things into your body. I don't care if the United States does legalize weed. It's still wrong to do it. A lot of things they legalize is wrong to do. They can make it legal, but they can't make it right. Amen. They can make it legal to kill your unborn baby, but it still doesn't make it right. Amen. They can make it legal to marry one of the same sex, but it still doesn't make it right. They can make it legal to do a lot of things, but it doesn't make it right. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And that was John the Baptist. In verse 41 of that chapter, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So John the Baptist is to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And when Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary who came to see her, the babe, John the Baptist, leaps in Elizabeth, his mother's womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. So now you have two in one family who are filled with the Holy Ghost. If more in the family would be filled with the Holy Ghost, you would have less problems. The more in the family that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the less problems you got. It doesn't mean that Spirit-filled people don't ever have problems. We have problems too. But some of these problems are coming from the fact that either people have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, or perhaps they have been filled with the Holy Spirit and they're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Just because you have been Spirit-filled one time, that doesn't mean that you're always Spirit-filled. You got to continually strive and continually desire to be Spirit-filled. Paul would not have said, be filled with the Spirit, if it was something that just happened automatically. It does not happen automatically. You're not saved automatically. The only thing that happens automatically is when you reach out your hand and pick your coffee cup up. That happens kind of automatically, I suppose, or either a remote control. That might happen almost automatically, but you're not automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not automatically born again. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You have to desire to be Spirit-filled. So John the Baptist, Spirit-filled. Elizabeth is Spirit-filled and filled with the Spirit, same thing. In verse 67 of Luke 1, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. So now you have all the members of the family, father and mother and child, that are filled with the Spirit. This family was filled with the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. So there were no tongues involved. They didn't have to speak in tongues. Pentecost hadn't come yet, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that Jesus was always filled with the Spirit, though he did not speak in tongues. You're not filled with the Spirit because you speak in tongues. Rather, you speak in tongues because you're filled with the Spirit. That is very important because it's easy to get the wagon ahead of the horse. You're not filled with the Spirit because you speak in tongues, but you speak in tongues because you're filled with the Spirit. You hear somebody, oh, they speak in tongues, they must be filled with the Spirit. No, we're filled with the Spirit, and that produces tongues. You're not filled with the Spirit because you speak in tongues. Rather, you speak in tongues because you're filled with the Spirit. Evidence and results of being filled with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 verse 4 said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. It's not the only evidence, but it's the initial evidence. How do you know that a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit? All you have to do is just read that verse right there. It'll tell you the way that they knew in the beginning, and that it happened in the beginning on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The first evidence that you have is the evidence of speaking in tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance and they spoke in tongues. Nobody coerced them. Nobody coaxed them. Nobody made them. Nobody prodded or pushed them. They were all there together. The Holy Spirit came and they all had the same experience together. Even though individually, they all individually had their own Spirit filling, but He filled them individually and He filled all of them. And they began to speak in tongues. In chapter 4, verse 8 of Acts, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And he goes on to give a witness and a sermon, actually, to say to them, you're the ones who chose Barabbas, rejected Jesus. You crucified him, put him on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And so being filled with the Spirit, not only the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, but being filled with the Spirit gives you boldness to witness for Christ. Peter, he was kind of a brash mouth, but he didn't have the boldness that he had after the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, they had boldness to witness for Christ and to stand for Christ that they didn't have before. And he stood right there in the midst of them and stood right up and said, you're the ones who did it. You desired a murderer to be granted to you and you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. Boldness to witness for Christ. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be witnesses unto me. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that dunamis ability, spiritual ability. The Holy Ghost gives you the power to do the work of God. You don't do it because you're a good businessman. Oh, we'll put him on the board, or we'll give him a position, or we'll give her a position because she's got a big degree, or they know a lot about business. They may know a lot about business, but that's not the way you get things done in the kingdom of God. It takes the power of God to get things done in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God, dunamis, He gives you power to be witnesses for Christ. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. In verse 31 of Acts 4, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Being filled with the Spirit gives you and results in powerful prayer and preaching. You can preach, or you can lay out an outline or a discourse, but it has no power behind it unless you have the Holy Spirit behind it and with it. When they heard Jesus teach and preach, they said his word is with power. He teaches as one who has authority, not like the scribes. The scribes could read what was written on a scroll, but they didn't have any holy ump behind it. They didn't have the anointing with it. It didn't have the power of God behind it. The blessing of God was not upon him. God doesn't care how eloquently you can read and pronounce, and all of us could stand a little help with our diction. But he doesn't care so much about that. What he cares more about is the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. And the diction and the announcing and enunciation will take care of itself. The more that you preach, the more that you practice. You say, practice what you preach. Well, the more you preach, you can get in a little practice. And hopefully after about 111-55 years, you might be able to do a little bit. Being Spirit-filled and filled with the Spirit results in powerful prayer. It said when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. You get a bunch of Holy Ghost folks together praying, and something bound to happen. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke God's word with boldness. Being filled with the Spirit results in powerful prayer and preaching. You have preaching that will do you good. You'll have preaching that'll get the hair off a hound dog's back. Preaching that will cause you to be moved. Preaching that will cause people to come out of their hiding place and cause people to enjoy the Word of God again. And church will be more than a bore, will be more than a chore. It will be something that you will delight in when someone can stand and preach the Word of God and have the power of God in what they're saying and the power of God to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, well, what in the world shall we do in the time that we live? You use the pastors you got, then your church won't rot. You use the preachers you got in place, then your church won't go to waste. God wants us to be witnesses for him. In these last days, he's not concerned about a title or a name. He's concerned about whether we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, imagine that, one who had been against the cause of Christ, persecuted, killing Christians. Now he's called Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Personal Pentecost, while true to the word, is also designed for the individual, so everyone can have their own unique experience with God and with the indwelling comforter. Pentecost is true to the word of God. It has to be true to the word of God. When you hear some people tell what happened to them, it's kooky way out there somewhere, but it doesn't bear witness to the word of God. Now, my experience may seem strange to you, but if it bears witness with the Word of God, then it may be a little different than your testimony and experience, but it's still the same thing. Personal Pentecost, while it's true to the Word, is also designed for the individual. God will give you your own individual Pentecost. Everyone can have their own unique experience with God and with the indwelling comforter. I'm glad that my relationship with God doesn't have to be like yours. It will always be like it in some ways, but it doesn't have to be like yours in every way. And some people feel put off because what happened to me didn't exactly happen to them, or what happened to them didn't exactly happen to me. So perhaps I'm not spirit-filled. No, if you receive in your heart, if you believe, if you have the evidence of God, you are saved, you're a sanctified believer, if God is filled with you with the Holy Spirit, your experience may not be like Brother John or Sister Jill. It doesn't matter. God gives you your own personal Pentecost. And that's what we know and is so good about having a relationship with God. Jesus Christ is our own personal Savior. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal walk with God. We have a personal relationship, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. He indwells all of us, but He indwells each of us individually. And individually, we have our unique experience and relationship with God. I'm glad it doesn't have to be like the Middle East people, where nothing wrong with them, but any of them can take a baby and nurse it and take food and put it in their mouth and put it in the baby's mouth. I say, yuck, I don't want that. I want my own food. I want my own relationship with God. It doesn't have to be chewed and salivated by somebody else to make sure it's all right. No, if it's all right between me and God, me and Jesus got a good thing going. I know some people might not like that song, but the principle is good. We have a good thing going. Why do they not like me and Jesus got a good thing going? Oh, I know why they don't like it, because the one who wrote it is a big beer drinker, and I can understand that. But why do they like on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two? It says the same thing. No more or no less, Jesus and you. We have the same experience with God, a unique individual experience with God. In Acts 13:9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. This is a person who had tried to dissuade and turn somebody else from being saved. This man was hearing the word of God. He was eager. He wanted to be saved. But you got this crafty soul who was trying to keep him from believing and keep him from being saved. Paul set his eyes on him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Being filled with the Spirit gives you authority and discernment to handle adverse circumstances and deal with opposing situations and evil spirits. If you want to succeed in the kingdom of God, it requires a spirit-filled life, because there are adverse circumstances and situations that will oppose you and come against you. There are even evil spirits, of course, that you have to deal with. And you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to handle these situations. This is what happened in this situation in the early ministry of the Apostle Paul, who pronounced judgment on this person, who, of course, was judged with a bout of blindness for a while. But the result was that this person who was trying to keep this other man from being saved was dealt with, and the man who was hearing the gospel, he was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, and he ended up getting saved, which was what God wanted to happen in the beginning. God wants all to be saved. But there are other people like this one, this rascal that Paul was dealing with, who are opposing people. Not only do they not want to get saved, they don't want you to get saved. They don't want your children to get saved. They don't want other people to get saved. And sometimes they don't even know what they're doing. The devil is using them. The devil has a hold of them. And Paul was able to deal with this situation because he was spirit-filled. In fact, it said, Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said unto him, and was able to take care of the situation by the Spirit of God. Verse 52 of that chapter 13 said, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Being spirit-filled, joy and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit will be manifest. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These fruit of the Spirit, nine of them, they're seen in the life of every believer, but especially those who are filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with love, you're filled with joy, you're filled with peace. You have the ability, enablement to do long-suffering. You're of a gentle spirit, not a hard, crashy spirit, and crabby spirit, but you have a gentle spirit. Goodness and faith and meekness and temperance or self-control. The Holy Spirit will give you self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the scripture that has the fruit of the Spirit. Reception and operation. How do you receive this fullness of the Holy Spirit? How does it operate? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This goes back to the scripture in Luke 1 that says that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, but he would not drink wine or strong drink. You cannot have room for both of these in your life. And the wine and strong drink is just an example. But Paul here says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You can get too much of that. You can guzzle so much of it and drink so much of it, and you can get too much of that, but you cannot get too much of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can get too much of the man-made spirit. You can get too much of the church spirit. You can get too much of the preacher spirit. Some people's been having too much of that. They got too much preacher religion. But how much really, really religion, really Holy Ghost religion do you have? Because a preacher might leave town or something might happen to him, and then if you wrapped up all in that, then there goes your Holy Ghost, because you don't have really had the Holy Ghost. You got preacher Holy Ghost. You got preacher religion. You like a certain kind of preacher with certain kind of shoes that does a certain kind of way. And if you are all wrapped up in that, then that's all you got. You like a certain president. You like a certain person. It's a person thing. I want to tell you something this morning. I love you and you love me. Oh, well, Barney, we have a happy family. No. Well, the truth is, I do love you and you do love me, but the only person that we should really be wrapped up in is Jesus Christ. Forget all this other, I like him, I like her, this and that. Sooner or later, whoever you vote for is going to have to leave office. Sooner or later, that preacher that you're in love with is going to have to go. God will take him home or something will happen. You better be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in God. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's a worship experience to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He puts a song in your heart. He puts a song in your life. And David talked about it. He has put a song in my mouth, even praise to our God. God likes three kinds of music: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The psalms identifies with the scripture, the hymns. Mighty fortress is our God. The music's hard as blazes. Nobody can hardly play it and sing it, but the words are wonderful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Leaning on the everlasting arms, the sweet by and by. Going to heaven, roll is called up yonder. When we all get to heaven, power in the blood. These are the hymns. And then the spiritual songs. I've got the victory and I can feel the Holy Spirit. Like we're singing this morning, the spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but you can sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And somehow or another, you and even him enjoys it. It takes the Holy Spirit, I know, to enjoy some people's melody, but the Lord, he can work it out to where he can. and He wants to hear from you. And the song that He puts in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. That's what the children of Israel didn't have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had this mumbling and grumbling and complaining and bellyaching spirit. That's the kind of spirit they had. But if you have the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even things you don't understand, Lord, I don't know how it's working out. I don't know why it happened like this, but I thank you anyway. I praise you anyway. I bless you anyway. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is worthy to be praised. And we keep on praising and blessing God, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You can do that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him. To ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11 verse 13 said that. That we are to ask for the Holy Spirit. It's not something that just comes on you. Well, if God wants me to have it, He'll put it on me. No, He's not going to put anything on you. He wants you to receive it. He wants you to ask Him. He's not going to throw it down on you. He's not going to make you take it. It's not like your mama who used to give castor oil. You had to take it and make you take it. God's not going to do that. The Holy Spirit's not like that. Holy Spirit doesn't taste bad like castor oil. Holy Spirit's good. And God wants you to ask for it. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. To tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples, the apostles in the beginning, go to Jerusalem and wait till He comes. Some people get discouraged if it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, doesn't happen in one session. You're talking about discouraged, not discouraged, but it bothers me. We have one service, we talk about the Holy Spirit, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't happen then, you got so many things on the calendar that doesn't have a hill of beans to do with the Holy Spirit that it takes so long to get back around to the fireplace again. You got to wait. You got to tarry. And the services, the times, the preaching has to be centered around the Holy Spirit. You can hear about stats in Raleigh and stats in Washington, stats in London and Moscow. It's information, but it doesn't do your soul any good. It doesn't fill you with the Holy Spirit. You have to wait and tarry until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you would be. And on the day of Pentecost, He came. Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. John chapter 20, verse 22. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. A Christian has a right to receive the Holy Spirit. A born-again person has initially received the Holy Spirit, but you have a right to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to be sanctified and to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You can't jump over sanctification. That's another thing that's wrong in our latter-day neo-Pentecostal doctrine. You can be saved and born again. Come on and get the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but you got a sock that's missing on your foot. You need to be sanctified. That old man has to be dealt with. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, but something's in the way. Ishmael's still in the house. He's got to be put out. Long as Ishmael's in the house, you're not going to be successful. Can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even God would fill you 75% or 50% full. You still got Ishmael in there. There's no room for the fullness of the Holy Ghost because Ishmael's still in there. You got to cast him out. Oh, glory to God. I'm preaching the truth this morning. I really am. Acts chapter 1 verse 5, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So being filled with the Holy Ghost is the same thing as being baptized with the Holy Ghost. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost one time initially, and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost many times after that. Amen. You're saved one time initially, but if you go away from God, you don't have to come back and be saved again. You have to come back to God and renew your relationship with God. You're born again. If you're born in this world, you're born one time. You're born again, you're born one time. And you are to walk true to God and be true to Him. And if something happens and you get away from God and you backslide on God, you don't come and get saved again. again. Regeneration, regeneration. No, you come back to the Lord. You renew your walk with the Lord. You keep on trucking. If a righteous man, he will fall 7 times, but he'll still get back up. And that's what you do. You keep on going with the Lord. Baptizing the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water. You'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 8, Peter and John prayed for the new saved and sanctified believers in Samaria that they might receive the Holy Ghost. In verse 17 of Acts 8, then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. It didn't say that they spoke in tongues, but they did, because how would you know that you had received the infilling of the Holy Ghost without the initial evidence that they received in the beginning? The Gentiles of Cornelius' household received the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, verse 46, it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And this happened, by the way, before they were baptized in water. You have churches, neo-Pentecostalism again, Jesus-only people. I know Jesus is the only way to heaven, but there's a doctrine called Jesus-only. And by the way, this is a Pentecostal holiness church. We are Trinitarian in doctrine. We believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're not Jesus only. We have people that come to our church who are Jesus only. But we're not Jesus only. Jesus only said you've got to be baptized in water, you've got to speak in tongues, you've got to do all that before you're saved. And that's not what the Bible teaches. They use Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's what they do. They baptize in the name of Jesus. They don't say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They misinterpret the Scripture. Baptize in the name of Jesus only. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is an interesting thing about Acts 2:38. A man came to rob a house, and they called the law to him and came and got him. And the policeman arrested him, handcuffed him, and took him down. And he said, "I don't usually do this, but I want to ask you a question. Why, when we got there, was you standing still? You didn't try to resist? You didn't try to run?" He said, "Well, right when you was coming in, the woman, she said Acts 2:38. And the policeman said, "Well, what's the big deal about that?" He said, "She said she had an axe in 2:38. She had learned in church, quote Scripture. When you get afraid, quote Scripture. She couldn't remember all what Scripture says, so she just said, Acts 2:38. He said, "Oh my God, she's got an axe in 2:38. He was easy to arrest. Well, Acts 2:38 is a wonderful Scripture, but it's not to be misinterpreted. Jesus told the disciples in the beginning how to baptize. He didn't say no Jesus only. He said in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, which came some few days later, he wouldn't have said be baptized in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost and then change his mind 10 days later. Now, he told them how to be baptized, and we still baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. These believers in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, they were filled with the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in water. Peter said, "Look, they are speaking in tongues. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Who can forbid water that they would not be baptized?" Acts chapter 19, verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So it doesn't matter whether you're in Acts 2, whether you're in Acts 8, whether you're in Acts 10, and then you're at the end of the book, Acts 19, the Holy Ghost still does the same thing. He fills believers. These disciples, they had been baptized in John's baptism, but they had not heard about the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, you must believe on the Lord and be baptized. John did baptize in water, but he said, there's coming one who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And when they heard that, they received the word, they were baptized, they were sanctified, and they received the Holy Spirit. He laid his hands upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Be quick to believe and eager to receive, not depending on your past religion or present good works. It's not by what you do, how much you pray, how much you pass, how much you fast, how much you give, how much you do this and how much you do that. Even being saved, you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have any work to boast about that would save us. No work to say, look here what I did, God. I did this wonderful work. Now I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Has nothing to do with your past religion or your present good works. The Holy Spirit will use you to deliver from demons and lay hands on the sick. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. He will use you in private prayer, public messages, and prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about the operation of tongues and the Holy Spirit. He will use you in fortifying faith and winning spiritual battles. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, who is the Word of God, which is the Word of God, praying always in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20, lifting up prayers, praying in the Spirit, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. That is what being filled with the Spirit is all about. God wants us to have an exciting life. And just because we're living in perilous times, that's no sign that we cannot be excited about Jesus. That's no sign that we cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled. And in the latter day in which we're living, and the things that we're facing in our time, we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit more now than ever. Amen. Whether you're in the church house, whether you're in quarantine, whether you're in your house, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's no better time than now than to get alone, to get with yourself, with God, and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I've been filled before, but I need to be filled again. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And He'll come right there with you where you are. You may speak in tongues, you may not, you probably will. If you have not been filled and He fills you, you will. But if you've been filled before, you may speak in tongues, you may not. But there are times when you will. The important thing is, He will fill you again and again and again. And the command is, it's an imperative. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Look around. The days of evil are here. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Awake to righteousness and sin not, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk in wine. Oh, they get on this wine. I'm talking about the wine I'm talking about is a new wine that makes you feel good all the time. No hangover. No headache. Nothing like that. But this old rot gut, all the years that we lived in sin and shame, we don't have to be bound by that anymore. No, it's not no bud. We don't need a bud. We need a buzz of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Bud's not wiser either. He's dumber. He gets dumber all the time, driving men into perdition. It was Billy Sunday who said, if you must sell alcohol, put it and keep it in the saloon where it belongs. Keep it out of the United States government. They got so much money tied up in it, they ain't gonna never be against it. But God's against it. It's driven many men and many women into sin and into hell. Keeps many families and people in bondage and poverty. I know the church don't preach against sin no more. I don't know that they don't preach against alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and sex, and they don't teach and preach against things like that anymore. But it's still the Word of God. We need somebody who will stand up and preach against sin. Amen. Can't have a bunch of people in the church house or in their house or wherever they are. You can't have them filled with the Holy Spirit when they're filled with all this other stuff. Got to get rid of the other stuff where you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, it seems like I'm mad this morning. I'm mad at the devil. Certainly not mad at you. Praise God. Be filled with the Spirit. sing and speak to yourselves. It gives you a joyful spirit in your heart. You're not joyful because things are going well around you. You're joyful whether they're going well or not. If you have to be joyful and things have to go well before you can be happy, then that's anybody can do that. Publican and harlot and gambler, they can do that when things are going well. But when you have the Holy Spirit, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can rejoice whether things are going well or not. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to share this word with your people. I bless your people today. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill us all with the Holy Spirit. Help us to be Spirit-filled, to walk in the Spirit, to talk in the Spirit. And I pray that many would come to the knowledge of Christ, so they could be saved, sanctified, and Spirit-filled too. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon entitled, Be Filled with the Spirit. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.